Welcome. It's Thursday night and time for Psychic Viewpoint on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com with your hosts, Maureen Hollering, Steve Frampton, Brenda McCoy, and Bobby Marcheso. During the second half of the show, call in to connect for a free psychic reading. Join us during this transpersonal collective experience. Sponsored by PsychicAccess.com, where all psychics have been interviewed, verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you the highest quality of quality service. And now, on with this week's show.
Hello, my name is Brenda McCoy, also known as Lady Brenda, and you are listening to The Psychic Viewpoint, sponsored by PsychicAccess.com. In a moment, Guru Nandi will be joining us to talk about the path to enlightenment. But before we get started, please join me in welcoming my co-host. Maureen, how are you doing tonight?
Well, I was on mute.
Well, you were unmuted now. How are you?
I was on a meditative. I am okay, kind of. Yes, I'm okay. Thank you very much. I'm looking forward to your show very much so as well. And do you want to know what I do or who I am?
Tell us a little bit about what you do.
Well, it all started in 1945. I'm an intuitive, a psychic, empath, spiritual development of help of all people. I do feel very much so that the tarot is a symbolic record of human experience. I'm very well versed. I'm self-taught. And I help people help themselves. I'm not a fortune teller, however. We all have choices, but I do love my work.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you.
Welcome.
Steve, how are you doing this evening?
Very well. Thank you, Brenda.
And tell us about what you do, what your
passion. I'm a psychic medium, so I see spirit and can hear spirit. And I love giving evidence of the afterlife and the continued existence of the soul. But I'm interested in all forms of metaphysics and particularly Hermetic astrology.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome.
We're going to have a show on some more astrology, like maybe Vedic astrology. That would be interesting, huh?
Yes, I'd love to learn Vedic astrology.
Vedic astrology. I might be pronouncing it wrong. Well, thank you, Steve.
You're welcome.
Bobby, how are you tonight?
I'm great. Thank you. How are you?
I'm doing just fine. I'm excited about tonight's show, but let's hear more about you and what you do.
Oh, yeah, because the guest we have tonight, it's like having a super guru teacher on, right? But let's talk about Bobby. Yeah.
Well, hey, Bobby's got it going on too.
I'm sorry. I was just comparing to like Mother Teresa or something, you know. But wait, Mother Teresa, now Bobby. Well, like Steve, with the help of psychedelics, I talk and hear, see spirits as well. Yeah.
With the help of psychedelics? Okay. Well, that's TMI, isn't it?
Well, I heard that that's how Steve does it. So I thought, you know, shot and boy, it works.
A little peyote tea, right?
Yeah. You know, Timothy Leary knew all about that. Yes, he's right.
He was a brilliant man.
Well, thank you, Bobby.
Yeah, absolutely. I hear and see and help coach and talk to those on the other side and such like that. And we'll have an opportunity to do that after our guest speaks when everybody's able to call in and we'll all get to work together.
Yes, for all of those out there listening at the end of the show, of course, they know that there's free readings. And that leaves me, and I am a predictive psychic, and I use the tarot, the crystal ball, and the playing cards, and I specialize in dates, times, and places. Now, without further ado, our guest tonight is Tapas Yogi Kalathi Adiyanandi. And he was initiated into a karmic death journey through the direct teaching of his enlightened Siddhar gurus and the masters in India. While he was traveling in the wilderness and meditating in caves in South India as a sadhu for over a decade, Nandi represents the wisdom of the liberated. He is a visionary, a yogi, a transformational guide who is from the mystical path of the Siddhars of South India. The Siddhar teachings, Tantaram, represent the roots of yoga, tantra, and mantra. His core teachings, the Kalanji Kundalini Yoga, is based on imparting the experience and guidance to attain a life of freedom, purpose, health, and inner wisdom. Throughout his lifetime of teaching, and as the founder of the Aravind Sakti Temple in Los Angeles, Guru Nandi has devoted his life to attaining the attainment of inner wisdom and awareness. Awareness not only of this world, but of the world of spirit as well. Guru Nandi participated in the Declaration of Consciousness, December 21st, 2012, in London for the Three Magic Words premiere, the gala premiere, and screening of a groundbreaking metaphysical documentary from Starseed Film called The Three Magic Words. The Declaration of Consciousness was announced to usher humanity into the new dawn, a day when the individual freedoms and the many paths to enlightenment would be recognized. And you can find out more about him at www.nandhi.com. Welcome, Nandi.
Hello, welcome to you all. Welcome, Brenda. Thank you, Brenda. Thank you for inviting Nandi here.
Well, wonderful, we're all like, we've never had a guru before, and we've always wanted to, and we feel very blessed to have you with us tonight. So my first question, I know we spoke a little bit, but we didn't talk about your personal history. How did you first discover your spiritual path, and at what age was that?
You know, when we first had the initial experience as a child, we think of it from a very different perspective. In Nandi's case, you know, being lost in a forest and seeing this being who suddenly appears, and Nandi connected to him, that shiny, radiant being, more as a friend, as a childhood friend, rather than a spirit, or rather than even a spiritual experience itself. Mm-hmm. So then through childhood, which is filled with ignorance, a lot of ignorance, in the sense like when you get sad, you don't know what to grip on. So Nandi would actually run away to the forest and spend time over there, and would try to go deeper within to seeking that truth. And we knew that truth would happen the moment we'd hold our breath and hold it. And then there was a childhood friend who would come. And he would come in the form of the experience. So when Nandi was about, say, 13 years old, we started writing the book about God. We wrote and wrote and wrote and wrote, and then we came to a block. That block was, hey, all this that you are talking about, have you really experienced it?
Mm-hmm.
And then there was this need for this experience, and we stopped writing the book. And then years and years and years later, you know, as you grow through all the ignorance, all the growings and the human realities of ambition and wanting to do this and being the head of a rat race and being an entrepreneur, you know, we came back with so much ambition from England. We came back, and within a few years, we had developed a huge, big, fast-growing, dynamic company with over 120 people working with us. And then we have the death experience. Now, in this death experience, it was beautiful because on one side, death by itself is ugly.
Mm-hmm. What is the death experience?
death by itself is pretty ugly. It doesn't just come, just doesn't happen. It happens with a lot of stuff, like your own body disintegrating. You begin to feel everything breaking apart. Every single dimension of life breaking apart. And for Nandi, at that point in time, we did a tarot card reading.
Mm-hmm.
And this was a spiritual being who actually did it for Nandi. And all three cards we picked up was death.
That's very interesting. And that brings me to, you know, we have a lot of clients from India, because people in India are very spiritually connected, and they believe they are always asked, they have their own spiritual, like they love to do the readings, the tarot cards and all that stuff. Do they have a lot of that over there in India, the tarot cards?
Yes, in India, basically every possible dimension goes. Every possible dimension of spirituality is taken in. So yes, and this person was pretty good, but because she actually, you know, told Nandi, "Hey, you got a mega macro level transformation awaiting you."
And so the spiritual being came through then, huh?
No, no. At that time, it didn't look very spiritual. It looked ugly.
Okay. because
it was
a death.
That's coming for you. You don't want to die. You don't want to let go of everything. There's a time, you know, and at that time, it was different. It felt like we just wouldn't, you know, we couldn't come to accept it. Mm-hmm. And then we actually felt it coming towards us so clearly, death coming. And then we were in a sort of a hopeless state when our neighbor gave us a lingam. A lingam is the symbol of Lord Shiva. In reality, a lingam represents the symbol of infinity. So we were given this, we did not know what it really meant. All we knew was we were like a drowning man trying to hold some straw. Mm-hmm. The lingam was like a straw to infinity. So we held that and said, "Hey God, where are you?" And then Nandi heard the voice within, "I am here. I'm coming to take you today evening." That evening, we opened the door, you know, we hear a knock on our door, and we open the door, and a beautiful, powerful being steps in. Power, fire in his eyes. That was Bhairavaseka Swami. And he opens the door, and as we opened the door, he mentioned, "You have death coming for you. Lord Shiva sent me to take you through your death journey. Can I come inside? I'd like to show you something." And Nandi opens the door. And he said, "Do you have a calendar?" And Nandi showed him a calendar and said, "On such and such a day, you have death coming for you, and I've been told to take you through it. So would you like to come?" And then he took Nandi to Srikalahasti, a powerful ancient place. And through the
is
night,
it like a cave, or what is it? A temple?
No, it was basically a small little hotel room near the temple. And then the next day, he took Nandi through another journey more towards the forest and towards the first Sivalinga worship. And from that journey to the next was so beautiful, because when we went through that journey, it was like a million deaths of so many lifetimes, the pains of so many lifetimes. And then you begin to be aware, you know, death, which has been because of your own karma. Each thing you've done and then a death for it. It's more like going through a cycle of punishment and hell and then coming through and saying, "Hey, where are you? Where are you?" And then you began to feel a huge spirit rise within. And the spirit started feeling, the vibration of the spirit was so beautiful. And Nandi realized Nandi was that spirit. And that spirit was that beautiful, blue, huge, wonderful being. And then the next day morning, when Bhairavaseka Swami was doing the puja for Lord Shiva, that spirit and Lord Shiva was one. So as he was doing the puja for Lord Shiva, Nandi remembered all the birds flying and all of them coming and landing on the tree quiet. Humans would come and they'd sit down so quietly. And the moment the puja was all complete and done, we were crying out of joy.
What is a puja? Now explain to our is a puja a ceremony? Mm-hmm. Like a ceremony?
A puja is the mother of meditation. Puja is when you put 200% of your mind and attention and connect it to source and make offerings. It's like you be the infinite spirit, and then from infinite spirit, you celebrate the finite. And that finite is the form. That celebrating the finite is the puja.
Oh, interesting.
So when he did this, it was states of primal joy. Ananda. Ananda means bliss. ananda, the eternal happiness that springs from inside. And we were crying and crying and crying, crying for the reason that we were so happy, we were so liberated. And then we said, oh my God, you know, this spiritual being, being the spiritual being, is so beautiful. And we touch our body and we say, this body is a little bit puny. So puny as compared to the size of the spirit, but the shape not bad, you know. And we touch our face and we say, okay, we like the shape and we like its form.
So tell me, what role does yoga play in the belief system and in your paths of your path to enlightenment? Because you talked about the spirit energy, and you talked about going to the spiritual journey.
You're talking how we connect to yoga, right?
Yes, and what is the significance of yoga in the Hindu practice?
Let Nandi mention it. Okay. So the joy state was so powerful that the next day morning we woke up at 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the morning, and we wanted to do the puja ourselves. Then we had a silver lingam and we started our puja. And the puja was so beautiful. We would go deeper and deeper. And the reason why we were going deeper was because the state of joy was amazing. So in a day we were doing puja for 4 hours, 5 hours, 6 hours, sometimes 24 hours. It went on and on and on because the joy state was so good. Until one day, Nandi had an American friend who was doing yoga, and he said, would you like to try yoga? And we did not want to do yoga because we thought it would dilute the energy of joy, dilute the joyful experience we were already having. And yet we went to do yoga and we felt, wow. We realized that when we do yoga, we are able to create that sphere of energy that can hold the spirit that we awaken. That spirit that we awaken is Kundalini. So when we awaken Kundalini and when we are doing yoga, we can hold it. And likewise with yoga, we can awaken Kundalini.
And so the Kundalini energy, explain that to our audience. Is it an energy that comes through the body? Is it a life force energy? Explain the Kundalini energy.
Mother Kundalini is beautiful. First, we must see her as a state of higher consciousness. In other words, we are all in the five senses. When we wake up, when we are praying, when we are deeply connected to Source, there is the sixth that is there, the spirit, and that is Mother Kundalini, the sixth dimension. Now, when we try to read books, when we listen to so many people talking about it, sometimes it's sort of like we chose our own personal experience. In other words, Kundalini is a unique experience for every single person. It would be in so many different ways. There would be some similarity, but everyone has their own unique experiences. And one of the first experiences is actually waking up to realize, oh my God, I am the spirit. And then realizing the joy is the fire is inside. Now, when Paramahamsa Yogananda, an autobiography of a yogi, when Paramahamsa Yogananda left his body didn't decay.
And why is now, that? Why is that?
Okay. Now, that is because you have set the, you've awakened your own inner fire, your own inner lamp, and that is Mother Kundalini. So when you are constantly worshipping it every day through your yoga, through your meditative practice, you're working in the states of joy of the fire within you. This fire begins to take over all the physical realities, including your body. So the body, they say, when we go into doing deeper and deeper yoga, we become the form of love. Because when we are experiencing the heightened state of bliss, our realities too become that state of harmony. And when we do yoga, we transform a body to a body of love, a body of light. This is Mother Kundalini in her forms in the physical. This is in reality what yoga is about. So when we say we're invoking Mother Kundalini, when we say we're riding consciousness, we are also tapping into the ancient wisdom of Tantiram. Antiram is the roots of consciousness. This is why Ganapati, the lord of the journey, is worshipped, the root chakra. The elephant head symbolizes the primal energies that we have.
Oh, put really? Is that now? That's the god Ganesh, right?
Yes. So the Lord Ganesh symbolizes the primal Muladhara chakra, the root chakra energy we have as elephant energy, huge, mega elephant energy each one of us have. And when it's cut and put in a human body, we can transform it to being angelic. The great achievers of humanity, the movers and shakers of humanity are the ones with huge, big, mega root chakra. Emperor Constantine, Emperor Ashoka. So when we wake up into awakening our root chakra every day through our yoga, and we utilize this primal Mother Kundalini as a state of consciousness to journey within the divine, we are multiplying and magnifying consciousness. What this necessarily means is we wake up to our own inner genius. That inner genius is Siddhi.
And so how do you spell that?
Beg your pardon?
How do you spell that?
Siddhi, S-I-D-D-H-I, Siddhi.
Siddhi.
Siddhi is
yes.
ESP. It's not just ESP. It covers ESP. It covers psychic. It covers all that which is beyond the limits of the mind and beyond the limits of what we think is possible. That's Siddhi. Every one of us have a very special Siddhi. When we do yoga, when we go into the deeper, when we go into our inner self and wake up, we immediately also start growing the fires within of self, and we begin to understand why on earth we are here. And the moment our mind latches on our inner passion, all our siddhis up. All our creative juices wake up. When we are inspired beings, see, in our journey is push and pull. The push is our own effort. The pull is grace, divine grace, the grace that flows to us, the grace that comes through us as we being the receiving end of grace, the grace of transformation, the grace of the grace that takes us through the journey. So all this is within the yogic journey each day.
And so part of your path to enlightenment and part of your practices and what you teach your students is, you know, the physical, spiritual, and emotional levels within the yoga practice, or enhancing all that through the practice of yoga. It seems to me, from what you're saying, is that it's all interconnected with the spiritual path, because you have to be spiritually fit as well as physically fit.
Absolutely. If the body is healthy, then every moment is big enough to accommodate the spiritual journey.
So you believe the body, and we all know yoga is beneficial, but it really can transform health.
Yoga is, you know, when we go deeper, when we awaken, and when we do yoga, from the spiritual perspective, we're tapping into energies of youth. We're tapping into energies of rejuvenation. We're tapping into the grace. We were talking about grace. So we tap into the grace, one of the highest and most powerful graces of inspiration. When you are inspired, and then your yoga is 24/7. It's not just what you do during the time of climbing up through your own state of consciousness as a yogic ritual, but also 24/7, you are in a meditative state.
Ah, that's very interesting. So you put yourself almost, you're connected to the super consciousness all the time then.
Absolutely. Now, let Nandi explain to you what it necessarily means. If anyone, if you go to India and you have a chance to go to Gujarat, try to go to Ahmedabad, Mahatma Gandhi's ashram. Why it's such a spectacular place to go to is to understand what Turiya means. One person, there's about, say, 800,000 books he's written. And then there's another, say, 2,000, 3,000 books and volumes upon volumes of writings about Mahatma Gandhi. So one person did it all. How did it happen? See, he was called Mahatma, great soul. Why he was called a great soul is because he woke up. And when he woke up, he was in a state of Turiya. So being in a state of Surya, he was in a superconscious state to be able to do all this and more. Mm-hmm. This is what we tap into and awaken when we step into the path of yoga. Each of us become the Mahatma. Now, when we say Mahatma, that one Mahatma Gandhi actually got India its freedom from a mighty superpower of a colonial country without bloodshed. That was the power of one Mahatma. So imagine if all of us on a global scale wake up. That is declaration of consciousness. This is declaration of consciousness. When all of us wake up, and all of us, just by our very being, our thoughts have gained so much potency that when we come as one single thought, we make things happen. So we come back into this aspect of saying, these are powerful moments for humanity. This moment, especially when we are coming together, is a very powerful time for humanity. When each of us now have the propensity to be ready to say, yes, I am. I am the Mahatma. I am the vastness of spirit having the human experience.
We certainly have at our fingertips all the knowledge that we need to know, you know, about the physical body, the spiritual body, the emotional body. It just, you know, looks like, you know, we're in your declaration of consciousness coming right at the time where it was supposed to be doomsday, but in reality it was probably a spiritual time of spiritual renewal. It was definitely needed. Could go either way. I mean, you see so many contrasts right now with the ignorance and the enlightenment, and it just needs to tip towards the enlightenment. It's going to take something like a wave, don't you agree?
We are the wave. We are this wave. See, from Mandi's perspective, what is amazing is being a yogi from India here in America, seeing how yoga is blossoming, seeing the vast speed at which consciousness is traveling, watching how consciousness cannot be deterred now, primarily because of information technology too, reaching everyone. And when consciousness reaches, it's just as much as a light switch being switched on. Almost in a moment, it travels, it moves. So when we come together as consciousness, we will be beginning to see how, even in China, it will reach. It will definitely reach every nook and corner where belief systems hammer and imprison people.
And how do you feel about this, all the Muslim religion and the domination of the Islamic religion and in certain parts of the world as compared to what's happening, you know, in this whole enlightenment path and what you believe in? And do you see them being able to, you know, understand your path? Have you ever dealt with any people who are of that faith?
Being like one of the most beautiful truths we could say that is there for us to examine is all the poets, all the philosophers, all the masters of higher consciousness, of all religions, of all cultures, at all times, have written one word more than even love. And that word was freedom. Freedom to simply be. So if you go into writing the Rumi, you go into writing the Hafiz, all of them come to the same place. Hey, wake up. You are Source. You are God. This is a mystical element that is already present in all the religions. But previously when Sufis said, I am God, they were killed. They were murdered.
They were murdered, just because, like they're oppressing a lot of women now,
exactly,
and the female energy.
Consciousness cannot be handled. Christ was crucified. When Christ came in, he was mega, mighty consciousness of his time, so they crucified him. Likewise, you come back into these times, but Thomas Jefferson actually mentioned declaration of consciousness. There was a part of him which also wanted in some ways to work it for the slaves too. There was in history, there is a place where we look at it seeing that he was struggling against it. But if he had said anything or done anything towards emancipating slavery, he would have definitely been killed and he would have been thrown away from the history of America then and there. Now, 50 years later, when Abraham Lincoln spoke about emancipation of slavery, Abraham Lincoln was killed, assassinated. In other words, consciousness was big. And whenever it came into a society in its vastness, they couldn't handle it.
They feared it.
They tried to destroy it. And yet, the consciousness rebounded powerfully each time, and it grew each time. So it came back as Martin Luther King. Once again, Martin Luther King was assassinated, and yet the cause of Martin Luther King did fulfill. So finally, now we are coming into a place where this consciousness cannot in any way ever be purged anymore. It cannot in any way be pushed down. And this consciousness will wake up in every human to unshackle chains, to come to a place where they say, I declare my consciousness to simply be free. So if we ask Nandi, what is Nandi's religion, we would say we are the liberated. We are liberated. Liberated from what? Liberated first from the muck of belief systems. Liberated to simply be. Liberated to be consciousness. If you look into the journeys of consciousness, an atheist in reality, of someone who doubts in reality, have a better chance of coming to a place where they have realized that they have enlightened. Example is Buddha himself. You know, coming
now,
to a place
in the Hindu
infinity.
Belief system, in your belief system, you have the equivalent of Buddha, or do you have a Buddha? You call him Buddha.
In Nandi, we don't have any more beliefs. We have gone past belief systems. We are in the experientials. We take everything by our own experience. So in our own experience, if you ask whom Brahma is, it's only our ego that brings us here. If you ask us whom Lord Vishnu is, we would say the mind that is awake, that sustains us, is Lord Vishnu. If you ask who is Lord Shiva, it is our own spirit that has woken up to being the Almighty. That is Lord Shiva. So everything then is our own journey within as our own experience.
So these are aspects of your own experience, in other words. That's a great way to understand it, because a lot of people are very confused about some of these paths to enlightenment, the Hindu paths of enlightenment, in relation to the different gods and goddesses.
See, Swami Vivekananda had a big question, and he asked, If a cat has a god, what will that god be? What Nandi is saying is, when we practice yoga, this is the specific, you know, our religion itself is liberation. Yoga, religion is liberation. And we are liberated to understand everything from our own wisdom. And then when we see God, we see God in our own uniqueness. Just as a cat will see God as a cat, we will see God as in our own perfect fit of experience.
A direct connection to the source.
Exactly. And we wake up, and when we wake up, we realize, oh my God, you know, I am having the same experience that all the other prophets. And then we begin to follow a prophet carefully. Then we begin to understand the first teaching of a prophet is do not follow another prophet. Do
is
not
it really?
Follow anyone outside yourself, but follow yourself, follow your own consciousness, and you are the prophet. You set rules, but you follow them strictly by yourself and do not impose your rules on anyone else. Your journey is towards your own cause of liberation to be happy. Liberation really necessarily means, are you in the state of joy? If you are in the state of joy, that is the state of higher consciousness. And that is the state of being. And that form you are. And this is your every moment journey. This is yoga.
So,
this is.
Go ahead. Oh, I'm sorry. For a spiritual seeker who's wants to start out on the path, would you recommend them starting out with meditation, starting out with the yoga practices? How do they, if they would go to your temple, and you have a temple in L.A., what's the name of your temple in L.A.?
It's Arivan Temple. Arivan.
And what does Arivan mean?
Arivan means wake up. Arivan is awake. Arivan, Turiya. Turiya is a higher conscious mind, the fourth state of the mind. When we wake up, or when we are in a meditative state, or when we are in union with Source, we are in the fourth state of mind, which is Turiya. Sakti is the goddess, the energy of the fire within, the awake fire within. So that's Turiya Sakti Arivan Temple.
Okay, we're going to pause one moment here, well, for about a minute for a commercial, and we'll be right back, okay?
A new era in psychic services has begun. PsychicAccess.com. You can connect with our psychic advisors by telephone or chat 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. All of our psychic advisors are interviewed, fully verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you quality service. We're living in some very troubled times right now. More and more, the world's problems are affecting us on a personal level. You don't have to deal with this alone. Our highly accurate psychics, caring advisors, and talented mediums can help with situations you are currently experiencing, and can let you know what the future may hold for you. All new customers get a free 6-minute reading. All you have to do is register. Why not visit us now and get a free reading at psychicaccess.com.
Okay, we're back with Guru Nandi. So you were explaining your temple, and so for newbies and students who really want to get involved, what do you suggest as their first step on their path to enlightenment?
The first step is recognizing, okay, so if you want to step into the path of light, what is it that you are willing to give away? In other words, when you go to a temple, a church, a mosque, any place to pray, how do you want to pray? You want to go to God and say, hey, God, give me? Or do you want to go to God and say, hey, God, take me? You'd rather go, hey, God, take me, dissolve me. So then comes the question, what is it that you want to have to give in the first place? And then we realize the only thing that we have really, that we're trapped into is a body. The only thing that we are trapped into is the 24-hour day and night circle that we have of the mind. So the best thing to do really is giving the body. So that's one of those things, you know, even if you watch a dancer dance, that's meditation. That's connecting to Source. That's yoga by itself. So take charge of the body and let that be surrendered into light. And slowly the mind too will begin to surrender itself into light. And slowly we begin to understand the 24-hour circle, cycle that we have as day and night, as thought, as reality that is around us. We surrender that too, and then become the core where reality now starts going through around us, where our journey is about finding the infinity and being the infinity in every breath, expanding each moment, being the miracle. So, to begin with, get started with anything that gives a person a state of joy. Yoga is one path. There are thousands of other pathways. But most important is understand our body as a tool to a state of joy, and understanding that there is a, if we can utilize the body as a tool to the divine, then work it on a, work it towards the state of, work it towards the divine as a journey towards joy every day, every moment.
So respecting our bodies and what we put into our bodies and honoring our bodies, mm-hmm. because a lot of us don't. A lot of us, you know, a lot of people, we'll eat junk food or this or that or stuff with low vibrations. Do you feel that diet plays a part in any of this?
See, when you start journeying towards the divine and when you begin to start waking up, your next state of consciousness begins to take over. And in the next state of consciousness, you become aware, what are you putting in? If a person is smoking cigarettes, they begin to feel, hey, that smoke is poison. You start, when people are eating, you begin to say, question, is this the right energy that should be going into this body? Is this the right energy? When you're talking, then you begin to see food as energy. Then slowly the mind itself starts working its way in a different dimension. There's a concept called the Paramahamsa. Hamsa is the swan, but this is the mythical swan. In other words, not true swan. It is just to show something, that if you mix milk and water, this swan was supposed to drink away the milk from the water. It's actually the mind. So when we start yearning towards light, when we start taking a journey to be the yogi, the mind and consciousness wakes up. And then we begin to start awakening to the swan within us. And in the swan within us, we begin to understand energy for where it is. We realize what is the energy we are putting into ourselves. What is the energy we want for ourselves? We begin to wake up to the law of dharma and karma. Karma is action. Dharma is the reason and purpose of being here on planet Earth. Then we begin to understand that everything we do has an energy and propensity to evolve us further and further and further. Then we begin to utilize consciousness to multiply consciousness.
So the karma is our purpose, and the dharma is what, is it our sacrifice or what we're supposed to reach that purpose?
Karma is very much like a pattern of the past that is reflected in the now. The pattern of the past that is reflected in the now is karma. Now then dharma is, now we've woken up, and then we see whatever there's a pattern, limitations and unlimited, we transform that into the genius of our being. We transform that from, and then we begin, then whatever we do from the state of being awake is a state of transformation, utilizing a karmic reality. We transform it into the next more beautiful dimension. For instance, like Helen Keller, take the example of Helen Keller. She was stuck in the karmic negativity of all the possibilities that could hit a person. It was her dharma that enabled her to wake up. And then she woke up one by one by one through all the layers. And in spite of her karmic limitation, she served in being able to be the inspiration for everyone else. That is her dharma. Now this is present. This is the wake up. And then when we wake up, we know we are guided. We are guided with the knowing. And our pathway each day is somehow beautiful in its own perfection.
Mm-hmm. So to be aware, waking up and being aware of things that happen, and, you know, because so many things happen to not only us, our clients, and because as psychics, we hear a lot from our clients and things that happen with them, and to use those experiences as there's always a reason behind it and a lesson. Wouldn't you agree?
There are lessons in everything, but from Nandi's perspective, the best way to journey within consciousness is to unlearn. When we say unlearn, we would rather say, see, the most powerful grace of all grace is that grace that takes us to the stillness within ourselves. And in that stillness, we begin to see the dance. And the dance is the state of joy that enables us to sit still. So
is the dance like
the digestion of the past?
Pardon me? Go ahead.
Here we digest the past. We digest karma. We digest any negativity. We take it over. So when we say we take it over, now, for instance, let Nandi explain what we are meaning by this. It's every one of us have a perfect cap. And that cap fits her head so perfectly. And that cap is the cap of problems. Every single person on planet Earth will have some unique problem that fits them so perfectly, so well. Now, knowing this, from our perspective, we would say, once a day, light your lamp. Connect to the source. Unlearn, burn, surrender. Surrender all your worries. Surrender all your past. Surrender the mind. Surrender everything. Surrender every thought into that one light once a day. And escape and break free from the 24-hour chain, the 24-hour cage we are put inside. Break free. So when we step into this dimension of breaking free, then it is up to us to source. Anything that is hammering us, that is pulling us down, a cap of worries, surrender it into that light. And as we enter more and more into that light, we are not only burning our own past karma and our own karmic limitation and our own muck and poison and transforming it into something beautiful, we are also working with humanity's energy, the power behind meditation. We are beginning to then awaken the vastness of being within ourselves that goes beyond karma, that goes beyond destiny. That in the power of now, there's hardly much of destiny. Karma cannot affect the power of now. Once you step into the now, then all the karmic negativities not only just cease, they actually transform itself beautifully. So attaining the power of now is the most brilliant of rituals we would want to do for ourselves to have to step into the higher conscious mind we want to utilize for each day.
And that would be reached through a meditative state, at least taking a little time each day to do that. Like in the morning right before you go to bed.
Very much. When you wake up in the morning, drink a lot of water. Cleanse your bowels. Then when you watch a dog, you know, after it's done its poop, it's jumping. When you watch a cat, after it's done its poop, it's jumping, right? Now, that's a good energy. So after you've done your bowel movement, do your yoga. Utilize that beautiful energy to do your yoga. And when you do your yoga, understand your breath. The first step which Nandi would say, Nandi can give a beautiful tip, wake up in the morning, rub your two palms together and think of gratitude. Gratitude to your first gurus. Your first gurus, your father and your mother. Your mother and your father. Your left hand, your mother. Your right hand, your father. Rub your palms and say, I am grateful. I am grateful. And let every cell in your body say, I am grateful. And let your whole body vibrate with gratitude, and you touch your palm of your left and your palm of your right to your eyes and receive the blessings of gratitude. That is how you would want to step into the day when you wake up. Switch on gratitude, the power of gratitude. Then as you go in, then, you know, as you go do your yoga, you know, climb up. See, every day when you wake up, you are given, you're given the choice. What is the mind you want to create a reality? With which mind do you want to see a reality? For a yogi, we want to see the highest and the most beautiful state of consciousness through which we would want to perceive our human reality. So climb up, utilizing your yoga, meditation, into that state of mind. Spend time into that. It is a state of joy that you're stepping into. And then when we step into that state of joy and then work the day, not only does the day go around us, reality goes around us. We work understanding that we are the spirit having the human experience and having come here for a beautiful, powerful purpose. Look at the infinity, 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 trillions and trillions and trillions and trillions and trillions of light years and light years and light years, the size of the universe. This is how big we are. So one lifetime is in reality one wink. That's how short a lifetime is. One little wink is a whole lifetime. So what are you here to do? So every day is our birthday. Every day we wake up and say happy birthday to ourselves. Every day we wake up and say, this is the mind I want. And go into yoga to attain that blissful, joyful state. And then our journey, each moment, is joyful and beautiful, and grace unfolds.
That is so, you know, I there were so many things. I mean, we could talk for, you know, for, we could go on and on and on, but we're nearing the end of our interview, Nandi, and it's just like, I would have to say that we're going to definitely have to have you on again, because there's so much more we would love to, you know, talk about, especially music and everything. And I want to thank you, and I want to say namaste to you.
Thank you.
Isn't that the great the greeting?
See, namaste to you. Namaste to each one of us here. See, each one of us, you know, are awake to know that we are infinite beings. And the very aspect of us all sharing breath with each other is blessings to each other. The blessing of evolved grace. Blessings to be. So namaste to each one of you. Thank you so much. Gratitude.
Thank you so much for being. We have been very honored by your gracing us with your interview tonight. And you have a nice evening. Thank you.
Gratitude to everyone. Om Namasaya. Om.
Okay, if you need any more information about Nandi and would like to contact him, visit his profile at psychicaccesstalkradio.com or his website at www.nandihi.com. I'd like to take a moment to make a few announcements. Be sure to stay tuned for the second half of our show to get your free on-air reading with our gifted psychics. We will announce the call-in number, not right now, but a little bit later. So be sure to have your pen and paper ready. If you were unable to catch our last week's show, which was on forgiveness, you'll be able to find a recorded archive link as well as the archives of all of our previous shows on psychicaccesstalkradio.com under the Archives tab. Please feel free to circulate the archives links and future show details to your friends and family. It's our objective to connect with as many individuals as possible, so please share that link with everybody or others. Please be sure to visit our psychicbloggers.com site to learn more about everything from the paranormal, reincarnation, how-tos of psychic development, just about anything you can think about, we've written a blog on. And if you're interested in a reading from the best professional psychics on the net, go to psychicaccess.com where you'll find the best verified and accuracy-tested psychics, each with their own unique gifts. Each psychic has a detailed profile for you to find out more about them and to choose from the list of some of the most authentic, gifted psychics around. It's an honor working with Doug and Psychic Access because of the high expectations required of each psychic. All of the co-hosts here on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com work at Psychic Access, and if you would like a personal reading from any one of us, please visit us at PsychicAccess.com. And by the way, site owners and webmasters can earn up to 50 cents a minute on every reading on traffic that is referred to PsychicAccess.com. For more details, visit PsychicAccess.com/webmasters. And if you like our show, please invite your friends to join in our chat room and listen to the Psychic Viewpoint. There is something for everybody. So please spread the word. We very much appreciate it. And the call-in number for the readings at the end of the show, and this is at the end of the show, is 724-444-4851. Well, what did you guys think about that? Was that not mind-blowing or what? Maureen?
Yeah, I really enjoyed him because I think I've mentioned this before, but I was into Maharishi's TM movement in the early 70s. I was a young girl, but I was a TMer, and I worked actually at the center that he started up in 1972, an area I was in, and he was known as, I'm sure everybody's heard of him, but he was known as the guru to the Beatles, actually, because it was during that time period. But also, he was also known as the giggling guru, because he'd always, like, in TV interviews, he'd be giggling all the time. But the thing that I was listening to your guest, and I can't pronounce his name.
Nandi.
Okay, Nandi. Like, he was fascinating, because I loved how he was speaking about, and I was reflecting upon it, doing it was hard for me being committed to TM because and I was young. I was like a young teenager, but I was seeking out new things and to be able to discipline myself to meditate. Like I think it was almost to the end of the interview, we're talking about meditation. Very important to meditate. And I heard him say something like a couple of times a day. In addition to everything else he was talking about. Is that correct, Brenda? Did I hear him correctly?
He said at least once a day. Take time at least once a day.
Yeah, to just be still. And even though, you know, Maharishi was a yogi guru and everything, but it was nice having this interview. It was the first time, like we said, the first time having a guru interviewed on our show. And I loved it. Very nice. It's profound. It was, you know, it's different. It's profound, and I hope people got a lot from it. I'm sure that they'd have to listen to it again on the archives, I think.
It was very intense. You're right. Yes, it was very intense. It was a lot to take in such a short period.
Yes.
Made me want to start doing my yoga, like, more.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'd like to maybe start meditating and levitating a little bit more. But yeah, I think, it was great. But I do feel that everybody, just put it out there. I think it would be a really good idea for the listeners. Maybe I think it would be really more beneficial if they heard this again on archives, because mm-hmm. it was a lot to take in. And I think that if you heard it again, it'd be even more absorbing, more connected to it. You know, what he was talking about, what you were talking about. Definitely.
Well, the practice of yoga is life changing. It really is. And it's like, you know, it does take discipline. I've been doing hatha yoga since the 70s, and I agree I do like skip a few days, but for the most part I do it every single day, and I believe it's made a difference in my life. I really do.
Yeah, I'm sure. Well, it's, you know, they scientifically have proven it. Really.
So, and once when we locked ourselves out of our house in Virginia City, I had to climb up and through a bathroom window. And I said to my husband, I said, see, this is what 30 years of yoga does.
That's right.
What about you, Steve? What did you take from the interview?
I found it fascinating, incredibly knowledgeable and deeply spiritual man. I'm very fond of India as well. I worked quite a lot in India and have a huge respect for Indian culture and the people and the depth of their spirituality. And it's interesting that you're asking about tarot, because they live and breathe astrology.
They all have their own astrologers.
Yeah, most people have a family astrologer. And when you're doing business in India, you often, even with large corporations, you'll often find that they will resist negotiations on certain days, and it's because their astrologers advised them it would be inauspicious.
Fascinating.
So it's a huge part of the culture, far more so than, or metaphysics is far more embedded in India than it is in the USA or the UK, for example. There's no comparison.
Well, isn't it the longest unbroken religion on earth, the Hindu religion?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure, quite possibly. But it's a wonderful country, and I think your guest's fantastic. It's one of those interviews I need to listen to a few times because he's so knowledgeable that it's a little like reading a wonderful spiritual book, isn't it? You can read it and digest a lot, and then you read it 2 years later when you've grown more and you find more depth in there. There were things that you didn't grasp. So I'll certainly be listening to the interview a number of times.
Oh, I think I will too. I think I'm going to go to his website and check out some of his yoga lessons and stuff. I mean, you can always learn more. I mean, you just, you know, you get in stale patterns with our spirituality, and you know, and I liked what he said about the unlimited, the, you know, the limitless possibilities in our minds, bodies, of spiritual development. That was awesome. That was really awesome.
And, you know, I'm a big fan of yoga as well.
Mm-hmm. Do you do yoga?
I do a lot, yeah.
Do you practice hatha yoga, or do you do some kundalini?
I do a mixture. I do some hatha. I'm mostly ashtanga.
But I'm not familiar with that one.
Ashtanga's power yoga. It's the more dynamic yoga. But it's nice to I find it nice to combine really rigorous yoga with a much more meditative yoga. So to combine Ashtanga and Hatha is wonderful. There's a form of yoga called Yin, which I really like. And in a 90-minute Yin class, you'll only do 5 poses, but you stay in the poses for a long time. That's really, really wonderful.
It's very interesting because back in the 70s, and I know that Maureen can relate on this, there really wasn't much. I mean, they took a lot. They developed all these different types. But back then, really, the only thing that was happening was like the hatha, which is the body yoga, and the kundalini, which is the breaths and stuff. And really, I guess all the different dimensions, like staying, the one you're talking about, and staying in the poses, that is very intense because you're supposed to work up to staying in those poses. How long do they have you? They have you in 30 minutes on some of them?
No, I would say about 10 minutes each one.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
One of the things I'm going to do, and maybe this year, maybe later this year, maybe next year, is I would like to go to India and do a lot of yoga, but also study Vedic astrology. That's something I would really like to do.
It's a different type of astrology.
Oh, yeah.
So, Bobby, what did you take from the interview?
Well, it's just, you know, I love the way he talks and the whole spirit, the cleanliness of his spirit, I guess, is the only way to describe it. I mean, that's just pure truth, isn't it? And when you so vibrate in that essence of where he was coming from, just everything just spouts, you know. I mean,
he was really on it, wasn't he?
Well, yeah, and that culture just is, you know, because that I think personally, you know, we talk about Egypt, don't we? And we talk about how everything has kind of begun there, but I also feel the same way with India and his culture, because that's been around forever too, and that is about as spot on the epicenter of truth as you can get. I think Egypt has its way in more of the, you know, like we've talked about the planets and universe and things like that, and then India more of the spiritual human portion of it. I don't know, it's kind of tough to explain, but But I think you understand what I'm saying. So the deep roots are there. That's the epicenter, and that's totally where he comes from. And you can't help but just listen to him. A little tough to understand at times, but yet you got what he was saying. Instead of, like Steve was talking about, when you're reading a book, maybe you can't read each particular sentence, but you get the idea of the paragraph. And he was so clear on his intent and what he was bringing to everything. And I loved his analogies. He was one of those people that I would call very cute. You know what I mean? He was just cute. What a cute guy. And adorable, and his gratefulness and thankfulness, and one of those rare individuals that absolutely lives what he speaks. You would have to, in order to be able to influence with the truth the way that he does with just his presence.
Yeah. I thought about it, you know, the Declaration of Consciousness, it's like the veil between the ignorance and the consciousness is so thin, but it's also so insurmountable, you know, with this whole everything that's happening in the world now.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's very difficult to live that in today's world. I don't know that I would ever reach that level of consciousness or spiritual consciousness. I'm a dad, two kids, actor, you know what I mean? My lifestyle doesn't necessarily allow. I can bring a lot to the lifestyle, but you know what I mean? There's so much depth. And this is just my personal belief, and until I don't believe it again. And I'm a huge one for knowing that you don't necessarily have to change the type of person that you are in order to receive enlightenment or a certain understanding. But the depth and level that he brings to it, I could never in this lifetime, I think, achieve that. Do you see what I mean? Because of any outside influences that I have perfectly chosen, I'm totally okay with, but you just...
You know what it is, Bobby? It's the acting. The acting's the devil.
Wow. Acting is the devil.
You're something.
I was at Beelzebub in a play, and I totally get it now.
Mephistopheles.
So, yeah. You know, there's just that level of truth that I just really so appreciate, and I would not be able to reach it unless I went to a cave, you know, somewhere and lived it out like that. There's too many wonderful, pleasant, asked for distractions in my life that, but I'm okay. Again, I'm okay with that.
Like, you know, martinis and glasses of wine. No, I'm kidding.
King gets in the way, but other than that,
a margarita. No. Well, I think all of us as psychics and intuitives and mediums, we make the people who are in our lives, they have to be pretty understanding, because our path is a different one. And we make a lot of sacrifices, I think, just in that, even if in taking in consideration, you know, all that stuff that's around us, we still, you know, it's a very intense, it's a spiritual path in itself.
Right. Different level of understanding. Mm-hmm. And if I were to, not that he does not have intuitiveness, but there's just such a depth to his knowingness. And I've been there before. I know what it's like to be up in front of people and to just merely talk and spout truth. I love that. Not taking questions, not being distracted by other people's energies and what they want from you and the questions they have to ask. Will my boyfriend do this? And all this kind of stuff. Just merely just have them listen, and we're all just tuned in at the same time. And that level and depthness, I absolutely love. And maybe, you know, one day, you know, I would be there, but that would be a choice. I don't know if I want to. I love kind of my life, how it's going right now. You know, there's a few things, obviously, I would like to have change, but do you see what I mean?
It's
a commitment. And as long as we are tuned into other people the way that we are in getting answers and finding direction and stuff, I think that's very limited. I think it limits us in our own evolution. Not that we won't grow, not that we won't expand. I think we will to a great degree, but I think that there will always be a slight chain, a slight rope, a holdback that will that will keep us from achieving the depth that he has achieved, if you understand. Am I explaining that? Right.
Well,
or do you,
I guess
or,
I have three. What do you think, Steve? I mean, it feels to me that we're all trying to you know, follow a path of enlightenment just by the work that we do, but certainly could be enhanced by opening ourselves so much by all the practices of yoga and perhaps some of our diet. I know that could change things.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of psychic development, certainly eating well and taking care of the physical body is important. I remember when I was a kid, I channeled loads of, I've got some of them written down here actually in the back of my file effects, and I'm just trying to find the page. Oh, I used to channel these sayings that would come through, and one of them was, "Worship thy body, for it is me." And the concept there is, you know, we need to take care of ourselves, because we are spirit, we are God, we are part of God. And I believe that, you know, Bobby was saying, well, he's got kids and et cetera. I don't have children, but I don't think there's anything more wonderful we can do than raise healthy, happy children that go on to make a contribution in the world. My stance is that we're all here to contribute to universal welfare. And whether you contribute to universal welfare by giving psychic readings or by working as a doctor or nursing children, I don't think it matters, as long as we're all making a contribution. And if we all were focused on contributing, the world would be a wonderful place. The problem is there are so many people focused on receiving.
Yeah. It has a lot to do, I believe, you know, the chain of consciousness, even the environment in which you're. He talked about his death, and he was in a miserable state as a kid, and then his death was actually the dying off of that belief, and then the awakening of, you know, with the change of your consciousness. In the, you know, wanting and expecting and going into the giving, becomes a reflection. And, you know, it made a lot of sense. Really did. It's universal energy. It's a universal energy around, you know, the world now, you know, needs to be, you know, changed. But it's going to take something really phenomenal for that, some huge phenomenon for that to happen.
I do like that he pointed out that the responsibility lies with us. You know, that each of us living a virtuous life, making a contribution, raising our consciousness, that's the solution. You know, I was reading the news and looking at the terrible, even more terrible events in Syria, just heartbreaking. And you feel powerless at times when you read these things. But if we each take responsibility, then the world does become better.
Yeah. It's getting out of the physical and the concerns of the physical, which are so like the survival mode, and to be able to give that to the earth or whatever, and then to accept, you know, the responsibility for your actions. And I think that it's just a blame game everywhere. So,
yeah, and at the end of the day, when we go home, we don't take anything physical with us.
No, you can't get buried in your Corvette.
No, you don't take any money, you don't take any jewelry. All you take is your growth. And all that remains is the contribution you made.
Mm-hmm. And that's a really good point. That's an excellent point. It really is. So, Maureen?
Yes. You know what, I'll tell you what I did appreciate what he said, because this is what I identified with what he was talking about. He was saying, pretty much towards the beginning, I think, within the first 10 minutes, I think, of the interview, he brought up something that I've always been comfortable with just because, but he said, forget about beliefs. He goes by all he knows. And I always say, I don't believe in anything. All I know is what I know, because beliefs and stuff get in the way. And I know I heard him say that because I was very taken by that, because it's so true that you carry so much beliefs, and if you're open to all you know is from your experience, what you've experienced. Do you remember him talking to you about that, Brenda?
You know what? I like that too, because that is some, you say that a lot.
Yeah.
And I really like that, because that was like taking you out of the box of, you know, having
to believe
this and that and this and that and this and that.
But it is so true, and that's why I've gone, and when I say that, they don't get it. I never did like the word belief, and I, because being raised, you know, Brenda, we are both raised in Catholic schools and such, but it's because I always would think, well, people go, what do you do? I go, oh, I was a practicing Buddhist for so many years, and then I was this or I was that, but I always thought, well, I don't really want to class myself, I believe in a lot of things, but also, all I know is what I know, my experience, and I'm open to it all, and I'm not judgmental because of whatever everybody else is focusing on either. But it all comes down to beliefs, and that's all kind of things I think have just been made up.
Well, Maureen, you have a caller from New York.
Okay, I'm ready.
Yeah,
I'm ready. Thank you. All right, hello, New York.
Hello. Hi, how are you?
I'm fine. Who am I speaking to?
This is Christina.
Hi, Christina. How are you?
Good. I'm just calling for a basic quick reading in regards to my relationship between me and my boyfriend.
Okay. Because I can only, because of the time restraints we have on the reading, I can only take one, like, direct question. So do you want me to focus on
your relationship? Yeah, one direct question, basically.
That's really what it came down to. I know, but you didn't want to say it.
Okay.
So, you know, I get a feeling that, you know, it looks like he's doing pretty good. Okay, let me ask you this. This is what I'm seeing. I'm seeing him recently being much more committed and much more coming towards you in a committed way. You know, like not he's going to be committed to a mental, but in a commitment type of way. Now, also, I'm seeing another man around here who looks like he looks like a father figure who looks like he's not doing so well, like he's in between you two. I'm going to ask you but there's a sense of unfairness. What's happening? Because what I'm feeling is, I see you're the man. What's his name? The man you're asking about?
Sammy.
Okay. I see that it looks like there's some new work he's heading towards. Do you want to marry this guy?
I'm ready to settle down and get married. Yes.
Okay.
But question is. Is he basically
okay.
in the long run?
So it is about a marriage thing. Yes, I do feel that he really, really sincerely, and I trust that he does. I also feel that there's some weird stuff happening. There's a father figure. There's some weird stuff going on about that. And it's unfair. Maybe there's something like taken away from his, you know, sometimes we get taken away from our personal happiness because there's either dynamics of or something going on. And there is a sense of unfairness, but I do feel within the next 3 months, it looks like he's heading towards a new type of, in his work, it looks like that's really going to be helpful for him to be more stable as far as, I feel that you're heading in the right direction. It's going to be a little bit uncomfortable, and if you've lasted this long doing this, a little bit more uncomfortable in the next 5 months, but I feel that he's going to be able to release from the past. It's been kind of something he's been carrying all. Yes, the answer to your question is yes, you're on the same page. It just is going to be a little difficult in the next 5 months, but I do see you two thriving. I absolutely do. He's just having a rough time, a little, you know, little wishy-washy, but I do see that he is committed to this, and more so sometimes than ever, and it kind of is mixed messages maybe, but I see a new home around you, or new residence around September as well.
Okay.
So I hope I helped you. I feel that. Just hang in
like
there.
Basically, I like him. I love him. He's really sweet to me, but we don't really talk about much about long term because he's so playful and it's hard to read him. you know. So
yeah, but you know what? I wouldn't read it. You know what? I do feel that within the next few months along, I feel that you should give him an opportunity to try to be able to for you to read. I think he'll step it up. You might be surprised. I feel that maybe you're let him have the, give him a throw it at him. I don't feel that you'll be disappointed.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So you do see this turning into marriage and eventually.
Yeah, I do see you heading in that direction. Absolutely. I really do. Okay. But I think you should give an opportunity to interact with you in a relationship. Like you said, people always, you know, are scared about like something, but you never know. I feel that he'll be more, you will not be disappointed. He'll be able to connect with you in that way. Okay. Especially
now,
after the next
few
months.
I don't know about this alien man that's in between. Is that on my side or coming from his side?
It's coming from his side. Somebody.
Okay.
Something he's working out. It's like a father. It's not a real pot. You know, some energy that I see him working out some stuff from the past emotionally stuff. You know,
okay.
We get thinking about the stuff.
Because I have stuff lesson. In my past. I'm trying to work out too. Because I came out before in a serious 6-year relationship that did not work out. So that's also why I'm so cautious.
I see that, but. No, you two will be fine. In fact, you'll be fine, and I think you have the energy. And it has been of unfairness, but I go for you'll be fine. You both will work out if you both have suffered pounds. I see you. No worries. Just do what you're doing. Okay.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
So much for calling. Bye bye.
Thank you. Bye bye.
Thank you, Maureen. That was a great reading. I want to give the call-in number out again. It's 724-444-4851. And we can only really take one question because we have a lot of people waiting for readings. So, okay, Bobby, you have a caller from Wisconsin.
Brilliant. Hello, Wisconsin. Are you there?
Yes, I am. Hello.
Hi, how are you?
How are you
What's
doing?
Your name?
What's that?
I just asked what your name was. I thought we would get familiar first.
Duena.
Okay, hi. So what can I do for you?
I was just wondering if you could tell me, what you see in the near future for, my love life.
Okay, you're kind of fading in and out just a little bit.
Wondering if you could tell me, in the near future, about my love life.
Oh, your love life. Okay. Are you are you seeing anybody now?
No.
Don't have anybody in mind or anything like that, because I feel that there's actually an inclusion in your life. In other words, there's somebody around you that's interested and kind of shares commonalities and is attracted. Do you know who this person is, or again, are you not aware of anybody in your life right now?
Yeah, there's somebody that I'm talking to right now a little bit, but I've known him for a while, but never really went over with him or anything like that.
Okay, I'm sorry, you're really still kind of fading in and out, and it might just be the connection on my end of it, but I understood it enough to where you said that there was somebody who that you're at least talking to and you've known him for a while and that type of thing. Okay, so what I feel, obviously it's up to you whether you want to pursue this relationship with that particular person or not. It's really up to you. There's a crossways. In other words, there's a Y in the road now, and you can choose to continue to find out how the relationship with this particular gentleman develops. And if you choose to do that, I think that would be a great thing. I'm feeling that he is taking it slow. It's not that he knows you're delicate or in a vulnerable position, but he just doesn't want to break any twigs, you know what I mean? Like stepping on eggshells. He's just trying to be careful. I think it definitely would be worth your while to pursue that. Or let's say you didn't want to and you were kind of hoping for something more, which I pick up from you, then I also don't think that you would have any problem meeting somebody more. You might in the town that you're at. It just feels like it might be a little limited where you're located. I don't know why I get that feeling, but you know, it's up to you as to what you do to go out and meet people and that type of thing. But generally, when I'm looking at relationships and somebody wants to know about their love life and who they're going to attract and will it be successful, I have to look at the person to find out if you're in a good spot to attract a great relationship, right? Because it's more about you, a better you, to attract somebody who can support that. And
correct.
I don't don't see nothing wrong with you. I think you're quite lovely. I think you know, you hold back a little bit, kind of tough on yourself, and you know, a little judgmental, but it's just because of, you know, obviously the relationships that you've been through before, and you don't want to set yourself up into that position again. That's all. So maybe a little more open-hearted on your end, but I really like the feeling of pursuing the gentleman that you know now. And if you choose not to do that and want to go down a different path and meet somebody, if you fully commit to that, it wouldn't be long. 3 weeks, maybe 4 weeks before you met somebody, started hitting off. I don't know if you like to go dancing, but I can see dancing as being a part of that. Just having fun, you know, just kind of a relaxing roller coaster of fun type of thing. And I think it's also very much needed for you just now. Do you see what I mean? Does that make sense for you?
Yes, it does. It makes a lot of sense.
Great. Super. So there you go. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you very much. Bye.
Take care. All right, bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Bobby. Thank you.
Sure.
Anytime. And isn't that the truth? You have to be ready for a relationship. Some people put it out there and they go, I want to be with somebody. But, you know, unless you're really ready, it doesn't happen. It really doesn't.
You just want to tell them, yes, you're going to have a love in 2 months or whatever. They just want to hear that. But it's like, if you're not in a good spot, you're going to attract somebody around who's going to abuse you and not support you and control you, and you don't want to do that. So people just need to understand you got to work on yourself first, don't you?
I play in one of my classes, I read out a piece of writing that I did years ago, and it's a trap because it describes, it talks about a relationship, but it says, oh, it can't be just an ordinary earthbound cake. It must be it must be spiritual and not just of this earth. And then it talks about French patisserie and says it must be as fine, as exquisite, as intricate, as delicate, as sumptuous as French patisserie. And everybody, having listened to it, sits there and you can just see they're all thinking, oh yes, it would be wonderful to have a relationship like that. And then I say, well, it's a trap, because you automatically assume that this is about a relationship you should have with someone else, and it's actually about the relationship you need to have with yourself.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And unfortunately, nobody wants to take that responsibility. Again, they want to take the way out, don't they? Just tell, I'll be happier and I'll do all of that if I had somebody to love.
Exactly.
Yeah, I think you have to love yourself. And also, if you just think of it in terms of resonance or the law of affinity, how do you attract real love if you don't have real love for yourself? If you're not resonating true self-respect and self-love, how do you magnetize it?
I mean, it's because I think there needs to be that understanding that nothing, the only reason we go after the things that we do, love, relationships, jobs, money, is because of the way we think we're going to feel when we have those. But if you don't feel it inside first, if you're not attracting that type of things to you, you always will think it comes from outside of yourself. And that's why they believe, that's why I have to work on myself. They don't want to take that personal accountability, because it's tough, isn't it? It can be. They just think that something else, you know, like their grandmother tells them they're beautiful, right? You're small, your grandma's always telling you you're beautiful, and then she dies. Then you grow up not believing that you're beautiful or wanting that type of confirmation. Because
my grandmother said I was a little shit, though, Bobby.
Did she really?
She was absolutely correct.
She was wonderful. She used to say, you little bugger. I adore her. She adores me. But
it was said affectionately.
That's how the English talk to one another when they love
I know. That was supposedly in affection.
That's we have high. This in our family where we try to be really rude to each other in public for a joke, just to see how people react. And remember, I had had a really bad accident. I was in a wheelchair because I'd broken my left femur. And my aunt took me to Marks and Spencer's, which is this big department store in the UK. And it was really busy because there was a huge sale on. And she wheeled me and she just shoved the wheelchair into all the lingerie. Like, just to push me out of the way. And you could see all of these people looking as if to say, look how that woman's treating her son. And then she wheeled me over. She left me there for a couple of minutes. Then she wheeled me over to the shoes, and she was trying to get this pair of shoes to try on. And it was so packed with people in there. And she just shouted at me, you just be quiet. You're just a fire hazard. And you could see all of the people reacting with horror. So we have this competition about who can be rudest and cause the most shock. But it's love.
I love New York. It's a lot of you. Oh, F you. Aw.
Yeah.
Well, it's always a reflection. It's a reflection. I guess that's the reflection, huh?
Well, I don't think you can be silly like that with people unless there's a real good understanding and level of
no effect. You can then you get arrested or they'll think that it's not politically correct or it's racist or it's
I have to be so well behaved. It's so rule based.
You'll have a lawsuit. I mean, in the news it's like every time you look around, oh well, this could have been construed as a racist comment, or this could have been construed as something not politically correct, you know. So, and it's just so far off. People are getting way too sensitive.
Oh my God! So, case in point, my daughter's school, elementary school, she's in third grade. They're having a father-daughter dance. Very cute, right? And the types of music, and bring your daughter, and you know the dressing up and taking your daughter on a date type of thing. And some single parents, moms, came forward and complained. And so they had to change the night from father-daughter dance to family dance night. Because
see, that is just wrong.
Left out or whatever. So what makes me mad is, number one, people coming through and complaining about stuff like that. Are you freaking kidding me? And secondarily, so have a father-daughter dance and then have a mom-son dance, or have a single parent dance, or have another night. Don't give in to these people as well, right? The upper management, politically so, are just saying, oh, we're sorry, we didn't mean to offend. Let's change it to family night. And that takes special away from it. You know how long there has been father-daughter dances? Come on. And this
That was an issue about a month ago with another school. It really was. It was all over the news. They had to get rid of it because of that same reason.
It's crazy. So somebody's going to complain and bitch and moan over that, and that's what this world is coming to. And it's so political, you can't step one way or the other because there is something politically incorrect or somebody is offended and somebody's so sensitive. Everybody feels so out of control, so they're trying to get in control of something, and this is what they choose to hang on to, and it's the wrong things to get control of. My humble understanding, you know, my belief, of course, or my opinion.
It's the truth. It's the truth. But you see, the harder you try to do that, the more out of control you are.
Absolutely. I went in to buy tickets. I said, I want to buy tickets for the father-daughter dance. They said, oh, we changed it to family dance. And I said, I know. I'm still calling father-daughter. It's just my rebellion, you know, coming out. Like,
well, it's
no,
good. You need to rebel. I think people need to rebel because there's traditions and you look forward to them. And these are things that kids remember.
Yes,
not some mishmash.
Not gonna budge. And I, you know, I'm DJing. My wife is going to DJ. And she's using all my equipment. And I've downloaded songs that are appropriate for fathers and daughters. And I'm going to play them. I'm also going to dedicate a song to my girl. And I'm going to sing to her because this is this special night. And if somebody else wants to come up and sing to, you know, if some single mom wants to say, well, I didn't find that appropriate. Well, you know what? Sorry. Then maybe you should go to a different dance or shut up, maybe.
I like that part. Shut up. Just shut up. Okay, I'm going to give out the number again because we're ready and we're ready to give readings here. The number is 724-444-4851. And if you have some, if there's even some questions in the chat, I'm sure we'll be able to get to a couple of those as well. So anyhow, we are ready here. The father and daughter dance and the mother and the single mothers. And what is it going to be next? Maybe it's going to be people and their dogs, because some people consider their dogs.
That's
what
right.
Now?
Their Louis Vuitton bags. They can't go with to the dance with their dogs out there, Louis Vuitton.
Oh, no, the dogs. Really, seriously.
The little tiny ones I'm talking about stuck in the Louis Vuitton
bags. Oh, the pocket dogs?
Yeah, in the Louis Vuitton bags. Well, it's a $3,000 bag. You know, that's all.
Well, I have something to say about that. Why can't I bring my dog into the store? You know, he's perfectly clean.
I say you can. I say go right ahead. You have my permission.
You see the little dogs everywhere. In the grocery store, they bring them.
Over. They were there in the 60s and 70s. They're part alien.
What, those little dogs? I think they have a higher consciousness. They're amazing.
They must have a higher something, because they created those dogs. The only thing I can remember in the 60s, Brenda, is the wiener dog? The hot dog was being...
And the chihuahuas.
Chihuahua. That was it. But none of these other little tiny things... They are cute. And Louis Vuitton is great. But, you know, I'm just saying. I think Charose has a question.
What does she have here?
She has a question. All right. I saw something. Go for it.
Okay. Let's put it in the...
You see it? I can help.
Okay.
Do you want me to say something? Steve, this is for you.
Steve, it's for you. The chat room.
Do you want me to tell you what the question? Do you have it, Steve? Do you have the question?
Steve's in the chat room.
If you can tell me, I am in the chat room. But if you,
well, Charo says
me.
This. She says, "I have a question about my boss at work. No one really likes him. She wants to know if they're going to be stuck with him any longer. So Savash, no one really likes him at work, and she wants to know if they're going to be stuck with him any much longer." I like that.
I feel that he's staying. And before you actually gave me the question,
sorry.
I felt that she's the one that needs to change that trend. You know, people aren't gelling with him, but she is able to. I believe strongly from what my guide showed me that she can connect with him and she can actually change that dynamic. And if she can do that, then she'll be demonstrating just how capable she is. So I don't feel he's leaving. I don't feel he's moving on. I feel that she needs to be the one to develop a good relationship with him. And that's what I see.
Steve. Thank you, Steve. Okay.
You're welcome.
I have a call from South Dakota. Hello? Hello there, South Dakota.
Hey. I would like to know if you see a career change in the future for me.
Let's take a peek here and see. Let's take a little peek. Well, I definitely see some good information coming your way. You have, it's almost like it's hitting you out of left field. It probably 6 months ago you weren't even thinking about this, but now I'm seeing that there's an opportunity coming your way. I feel a man's going to bring it to you, and you may have a decision to make in the next couple months. You're definitely seeing a couple months here. Looks like it's more money. Yay! And I'm also seeing that you'll have a little bit more a little bit more control over what you're doing, a little bit more freedom, a little more creative freedom. And once you get going with this, have you already applied for this? Are you training for this right now?
No, just thinking about changing careers.
Yeah, well, in 2 months' time, it might just come right out of the blue. Something that you didn't even really think it could happen. See what I mean? And a man's going to bring it to your attention. And once it starts happening, it's going to really fall into place quickly. So you could be looking at a decision, creating some new foundations for your career as soon as late spring, early summer.
Oh my gosh, that's awesome.
Yeah. It's all about movement. There definitely is that. And a lot of times when we start thinking about it, we kind of almost know it, that it's coming, you know, that something like that is about ready to happen. And this is swirling around in the super consciousness, something that's, and when I look at it, it looks like it's something you've contemplated doing before.
Yes. Oh, wow, that's wild. Okay, cool.
Yeah, that's what I see. It feels like this could be. It's a destiny, honey.
Oh, cool. All right, cool. Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
All right.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, I guess we go back with our talk, with our banter here, waiting for a little bit more calls or some questions. We'll take some questions from the chat room, too.
Well, while we haven't got a question, Brenda, can I say a little about next week's show?
Oh, definitely. Let's talk about it.
Yeah, well, I managed to secure an interview with Jessica Murray. She's an astrologer, but she is absolutely incredible. I've followed her for a long time, and she has two wonderful websites, Mother Sky and Daykeeper. So we'll be talking about astrology, but particularly the American psyche. So she uses astrology to understand what's occurring, particularly within a nation or nations. I think it's called humanistic astrology, but she is absolutely wonderful, one of the smartest, most insightful people I've ever spoken to. And in actual fact, I follow her to improve my understanding of what's actually happening in the world rather than looking at the news, from which you generally don't get the truth.
That is so quite fascinating.
Yeah, it's going to be a really good show. I've been looking forward to it for weeks. So I hope people check out her website and tune in, because it will be really good.
Well, we'll mention it again at the end of the show. Okay, Maureen, thank you, Steve. Maureen, we have a caller from California for you.
Okay, thank you. Hello, California.
Maureen, it's Reggie.
Oh, it's Reggie. Hi, Reggie. How are you?
Hi, I'm sorry I misspelled your name again.
Yeah. I didn't know that, but that's okay. Okay, I'll get you next one. What's your name? R-E-G. Oh, anyway, I'm ready, Reggie.
What do you see for me for come to relationships? Or, mm-hmm.
Relationships. Okay. You want me to check in relationships, and I will do so. And, okay, what I'm getting is you're ready, which is so fantastic. Mm-hmm. You're ready for a relationship. You're opened, and that is a really great step right there in itself. And I also feel that You're looking outward at you, Rich. You've got a lot going for you, and I feel that it's a really good time for you to reflect on that, because that is very important here. Because I feel that you're going to get some good news, from somewhere, and I'm not clear where, but it's something I feel that you've been waiting for. I'm not certain who this person is, but I do feel that there's some good news coming from an area that's not, you know, real close by to where you are. I also feel this person has been a mother figure. She looks like a mother figure, and it looks like she's been actually having some issues, or there's been judgment coming from other people about her as well. You know, Reggie, I do see somebody here, and like I said, it looks like a woman is a mother. She's feeling really down on herself. I feel it's coming from judgment of others, which would be not. I think you'll be very good together as far as intellectually connecting at first. I'm also seeing that you're going to be able to fuse very well together. It'll be very comfortable fusing well. And it may be somebody that I know, because I know where you live, and I know that it's for people that are, you know, people a certain age and up. And I don't feel that this woman lives there, but I feel that you'll meet her through somebody else that does. Do you follow
me? I've talked to a lady who I dated years ago, but we never, it wasn't serious. We only dated a couple of times. On Facebook, I've chatted with her, but...
No, this is somebody else. This is somebody else.
Oh, okay.
This is somebody else, but the most important thing I want to tell you that this is so nice to see that you're really ready and open to be putting yourself out there. It's a good time.
You know,
it's a good time.
I'm getting up there in age now. And,
oh, you're not.
Because I'm older than Brenda.
Oh well, that's oh my gosh, that's okay. You know, that's okay, but that's not Brenda.
Oh my God!
I know. But I guess Reggie about 90, Brenda is about 80. I'm just joking. Reggie, you've got a lot to look forward to. Stay the way you are. Be open to everything. And it's not from someone 8 years ago. It's not from someone that far away. It's a newer person. Okay.
Ten years ago.
Be ready.
Yeah.
Okay. And also, right. It's somebody that you'll meet through, maybe somebody that you live around, like in the complex, you'll meet through that. Mm-hmm. Someone will introduce you.
Yep.
Maybe Valentine. It looks like it was in the next 2 months, too.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thanks.
Thank you, Reggie. Bless your heart. Bye.
Yeah. Bye-bye.
Thanks.
Thanks, Maureen. We love Reggie, don't
yes, we?
Yes,
we do.
We all love Reggie. Boy,
love Reggie.
Yes, I know Reggie as well, and he's just great, great.
He is a great guy. Bobby, have a question from chat.
No. Great, Bobby, lovely. Lovely, I meant. Suze has a question. I have a friend who lives in Cairo, Egypt. He escaped Syria. Goodness. He would like to live and work in the States. He and I have been sharing websites as to what specific types of visas he will need to come to the States. After all the research we've been doing, do you see my young doctor making it to the States soon or somewhere else? Wow. Suze, yeah, absolutely. Listen, he would not even be where he's at today if this wasn't or didn't have the propensity to be successful. If this wasn't going to gravitate towards success and what he has intended and what he wants. You know, there's one thing I've really admired about people. I recognize your friend's spirit. And it's the type of spirit that's born out of such an intent desire that of people who live in those types of conditions. And you don't, I guess in some ways you recognize that here in the States, but it's a different type of feeling. But if you can understand what I'm saying, his type of spirit from those war-torn countries and just how bad it is, but I don't want to focus on that. Just, again, his spirit and how he was born at. If he was not going to be successful in any of this, he wouldn't be where he's at right now. So it's going to happen. You're doing a wonderful job. I don't know. I'm hesitant in telling you this, Suze. You have to help him to the degree that you're helping him. But I am not sure that what you're giving him will be the thing that helps. Do you see what I mean? What your job is, as I see you in this big wheel turning, you are turning the wheel. You are creating the momentum. Do you see? And the exact thing that gets him over here may not come from you, but you are helping in the cog. You are keeping up the momentum, the desire, the spirit, the motivation. You're supplying all of that, and he needs that. So you're his hook, his anchor. So don't stop doing what you're doing. Do you see what I mean? But because I guess I say that because some people are like, well, if I'm not helping, right, if I'm not going to be the one that provides him with the thing that gets him here, then what's the use? And that's such a very narrow-minded attitude. And I don't say that you have that. I'm just being careful, obviously, because I can't talk to you directly since you're in the chat room about if that's making sense to you or not. So hoping that you understand, continue to do what you're doing because it's a great help to him. He needs that. You're his that light that he's moving towards to get here. And it will happen. And I don't see with a lot of struggle. I know that it's been difficult so far, but I don't see a lot of things just standing in the way of him coming over. I think, you know, a few hurdles that you would imagine, but that's it. Not like something stupid that would, that is really going to take a long time or anything like that. So, so yes, he will be over here and he will be able to start that type of life and freedom that he's dreamed about. His heart is still in Syria though. So I don't know if he left somebody, close to him or not. His heart is still kind of there. It makes it very difficult, but he does recognize the importance for, he recognizes the importance for focusing on what he needs to do, which is come over here. You know, that's more important, but there's a little bit of missing and a heart kind of left over there, if you understand what I'm saying with that too. So anyway, there you go, Suze. I hope that helped.
Thank you, Bobby.
You're welcome.
It's every day we read about what's going on in Egypt. It's getting more and more intense. They are not liking their new government, that is for sure.
No, and Syria is a disaster.
Syria, and horrific stuff going on in North Korea. I don't want to mention it. Even on here, it's just so horrific.
Oh, I haven't seen what's occurring in North Korea. I'll have to look up
the
news.
You know, it has to do with they're starving to death. Anyhow, so Steve, what do you have? Tell us again one more time so we'll know what's going on for next week.
We've got Jessica Murray. She's an incredible humanistic astrologer. So she uses astrology and the movement of the planets to really interpret and decode what's actually happening on Earth and what needs to happen on Earth. So she's absolutely fascinating to listen to. A very smart lady. And I am extremely excited about that show.
Well, I think we're all going to be. We can't get enough astrology, and that's for sure. And I want to thank everyone for the show today, our guest and all of the hosts. And I want to thank Doug for working behind the scenes and keeping us on track as our executive producer. And we're going to be looking forward to next week, and we will see everybody and talk to everybody next week. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
So long, farewell.
Hello, my name is Res Miranda. If you're having relationship, career, or life issues, I'm inviting you to experience what it's like to have access to professional, highly accurate psychics and spiritual advisors you can trust to care and help you. Register now to get your free 6-minute reading by telephone or chat. Get answers. Get access. Psychic access. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. PsychicAccess.com.